Good evening and welcome to our broadcast this evening. We do trust that you'll stay tuned. We trust above all that the Lord will speak into all of our hearts here this evening. Warm welcome again to those listening tonight from St. Field Baptist as well. Thank you for joining with us. And as we said last week, we do trust that very soon Pastor Moffat will be back in his pulpit again. And so we look to the Lord to bless us here this evening. We're continuing our studies in the book of Colossians, and we're coming again to Colossians chapter 3. And just before we read the scriptures, we'll just commit our time to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Our gracious, eternal and loving Heavenly Father, as we gather in thy presence again this evening, we thank you, Lord, for all thy goodness to us. We thank that we've got a faithful God. Indeed, we can say with one of old, great is thy faithfulness. Lord, thy mercies truly are new every morning. And Lord, as we come this evening, we thank you for the greatest display of faithfulness ever when the Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary and laid down his life for each and every one of us. Thank you for our glorious Saviour who died and was buried and rose again triumphant. And tonight, Lord, we thank you we can call upon that thrice holy name. And Lord, we do pray tonight that you will bless our coming together. For all who have tuned in, we pray, Lord, that you'll undertake. We pray for a word in season. We pray you'll encourage us in these difficult days. And we ask, Lord, that you would draw nigh. And Lord, touch all of our hearts and speak to us through thy precious word. Bless the reading and the preaching of the word. Lord, we need help tonight. And Lord, help us to preach the word with real clarity. And Lord, grant us again that divine enablement. May we know that infilling at liberty and power of the Spirit of God. So, Lord, just continue with us now, for it's in and through our Saviour's precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. As I said, we're coming to Colossians chapter 3 this evening. Just going to read three verses of Scripture together. We want to just have a look again in Colossians, just where we finished off last week. So we're coming to Colossians chapter 3, and we're reading from the verse number 15, please. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And we do trust the Lord will bless the public reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word to our hearts here this evening. You know, when the pandemic first came in and when coronavirus was first mentioned, one of the symptoms was a high temperature. I'm not sure now whether that's the case or not. I know that we still have to look for these things, but there seems to be so many people with the virus and they don't seem to have all of the classic symptoms. But certainly at the beginning, one of the things we were asked to do is to check our temperature. And that's what I want to do tonight. Not to check your temperature, to see if you've got coronavirus. I trust and pray that the Lord will protect you and keep your hand upon you. If you have, that you'll know the healing touch of the Lord upon you. But I'm not looking to do a temperature check concerning the virus. I want to do a temperature check concerning your Christianity this evening. I want us to measure our walk with the Lord. How are we going on with the Lord? And we want to take this spiritual temperature and check this evening. Some time ago, someone published a list of 60 reasons why Jesus Christ is everything to me. And here are some of the things that they said. He is my peace. He is my joy. He is my shepherd. He is my future. He is my fortress. He is my captain. He is my goal. Indeed, we mentioned that a few weeks ago, because we are to seek those things which are above. We're to set our affection on those things that are of the Lord. He is to be our goal, our purpose. He is my forerunner. He is my rock. He is my life. He is my mediator. He is my high priest. He is my refuge. We could go on, couldn't we? He is my everything. Can you honestly say that this evening? Is Jesus Christ everything to you? The three verses we have read together this evening, I believe, give us that spiritual temperature check this evening. You see, in verse 15, we can ask the question, is the peace of Christ ruling in our lives? In verse number 16, we can ask the question, you know what it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Does the word of Christ dwell richly in us? Remember verse 15, is the peace of Christ ruling in our lives? Verse 16, does the word of Christ dwell richly in us? Look at verse 17. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Is the name of Christ central to everything we say or do? Let me recap this evening. Here's our spiritual temperature check tonight. Is the peace of Christ ruling in our lives? Does the word of Christ dwell richly in us? Is the name of Christ central to everything we say and everything we do? Can we honestly say, he is my everything. He is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. He gave his life for me, made everything new. He is my everything. Now, what about you? How special is Christ to you this evening? I wonder, has the temperature gone cold? I wonder tonight, have you lost that zeal, that flair? Are you living for the Lord the way you should be tonight? I want to begin with verse 15. We probably won't get any farther this evening. We'll look at the other two verses next week in the will of the Lord. And I want to give you a heading this evening to begin with. I want us to notice an atmosphere that's wonderful. Just looking at verse number 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. Here's an atmosphere that's wonderful. We're thinking of this atmosphere of peace, the peace of God. Let's break this down very carefully this evening. I want to see the ultimate tonight. Let the peace of God. Some translated the peace of Christ, but regardless whether it's the peace of God or peace of Christ, this is the peace that we're after tonight. See if you're saved tonight. Romans 5 verse 1 tells us this. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God has been settled. That took place when you trusted Christ and Christ alone as your Savior. You know, that's an unchangeable situation. No one can change that tonight. Romans 8 verse 38. Here's what Paul said. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present. What's present today? All of this pandemic and virus, none of the things that are present, he continues, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have this peace with God. Nothing, thank God, nothing is able to separate us from this peace with God this evening. But then, of course, there's the peace of God. Now, you know the classic passage on the peace of God is Philippians chapter 4. Just turn back a few pages in your Bible to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and look at verse 7. I'm sure you've studied this many times, but just by way of bringing it to a fresh remembrance this evening. Verse number 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You'll notice that this peace of God passes all understanding. You know, I used to believe, I've shared this many, many times, that really it's beyond explanation. It passes understanding. How could you ever explain the peace of God? But you know, I think it's more than that. I think when it says it surpasses understanding, there are situations that we can understand. There are situations that we cannot understand. At those times when we can't understand what's going on, yet we can have a peace. And Paul says that peace is better than understanding. We can understand what's happening in our lives, and we could go to pieces. Sometimes we don't understand, and yet we have the peace of God, which Paul says is far better than understanding. I wonder, is something robbing you of the peace of God this evening? As you listen from home tonight, are you disturbed tonight? Are you worried tonight? You see, when you look up the chapter, we're still in Philippians chapter 4. Look at verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know that worry achieves nothing. That word careful is really about being over anxious. Don't be over anxious. Don't be worrying about anything, Paul is saying. You know, it doesn't achieve anything. The Lord Jesus said in Luke 12, verse 25, which of you with taking thought, the same idea, can add to his stature one cubit? You can worry and worry and worry, and it won't change it one iota. And Paul says, listen, be careful for nothing, but in everything. Be careful for nothing. Be prayerful for everything. And he goes on to say, to be thankful for anything. Prayer is that adoration, that devotion, that worship when we bring our prayers to the throne of grace. Supplication is urgent, specific, particular prayer. Thanksgiving is a profound sense of appreciation for all that God has done. Paul didn't just say, stop worrying. Sometimes people will say, stop worrying, man. Stop worrying, woman. Paul's better than that. Paul says, listen, don't be worrying, but here's what you do. In everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, the big things, the little things, everything. It may be nothing to some people, but it's everything to you. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Have you a heavy burden this evening? You know what the psalmist said in Psalm 55, verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. By faith this evening, you can just cast that burden onto the Lord. Sometimes we don't even have the strength to cast it. Here's what the psalmist said in Psalm 37. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. The idea of committing our way unto the Lord is just to let it roll off. Sometimes there's a burden and we need to cast it upon the Lord. Sometimes the burden seems so heavy. We seem so weak and we just seem to be so much under it. We can't even cast it. The psalmist says, just let it roll onto the Lord. Let it roll onto the Lord. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Listen, it's senseless to worry tonight. Be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know the little poem, said the robin to the sparrow. I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush around and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. You see, it doesn't finish in verse 6. Look at verse 7. And we're in Philippians chapter 4. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep, shall protect, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, and here's things that we are to fill our mind with. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, set your affection on them. Seek the things that are above. Think these things. And what happens? Look at verse 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Do you see? We have peace with God tonight. We're seeing. We can have the peace of God tonight. And listen, here's something even better. We can have the God of peace with us. I think I've said this before. I think of us living in a castle situation and there's trouble and there's anxiety. But you know, through prayer and through praise, we have the peace of God as sentries on the castle wall. But you know something even better? Because we're meditating on these blessed things, these things, all of which speak of Christ, we have the very God of peace with us. Every step of the way. Isn't that what we want tonight? Isn't that the atmosphere that we want? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed in thee, because he trusteth in thee. You see, this peace can't be found in the world. You see, the circular world will never fit into our triangular heart. We'll never find that peace other than in the person of Jesus Christ. 'Tis Jesus, the first and the last, whose Spirit shall guide us safe home. We'll praise him for all that is past, and we'll trust him for all that is to come. You see the atmosphere this wonderful tonight. You see the ultimate, the peace of God. Then you see something unique here. Notice again, we're now back in Colossians chapter 3. Come back over to Colossians chapter 3. And let the peace of God rule. Just let's stop there. Think again of the peace of God, or the peace of Christ. This is no ordinary peace. This is God's peace. Now think about what has happened in our province. What has happened in the world from March last year? When this virus appeared, when lockdowns became the norm, when we were shut in and we were isolated and we're all filled with fear, and you know, we were shocked, we were surprised, we were startled, was God. You see, that's what makes the peace of God so special. Because this is no ordinary peace. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 147 verse 5, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. You know, he understands everything. He is not surprised. He's not shocked. He's not startled. 1 Timothy 6 verse 15, which in times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Paul said in Romans 11 verse 33, speaking of the Lord, oh, the depth of the riches both in wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgment and his ways past finding out. We cannot plumb the depths of the knowledge of our Savior, the knowledge of God. He knows everything. He knows the end from the beginning. He's not surprised. He's not shocked. He's not startled. Isn't that the peace that you want? The peace of God in our hearts this evening, when we've rolled our burden upon the one with whom nothing is too hard, nothing is too difficult. Sometimes we say it's out of our hands. But you know, as believers, we can say it's out of our hands. We've left it with the Lord, and the peace that he gives us is perfect, it's pure, it's undiluted, it's divine, it's supernatural, it's out of this world. Now, let me say this tonight. I have nothing against medicines and people taking medication for whatever situation. Thank God for the medication. Thank God for the doctors that God has given the brains to. But here is something that you won't find in a bottle. You won't find on a prescription. You won't find in a pill. Nothing can match this peace that only God can give. Wouldn't you love to have that tonight? Isn't that what you want tonight? You see, as we take your spiritual temperature tonight, how is the peace of God in your life tonight? You know, there's no reluctance with God to grant this special supernatural peace. You know, there are many characteristics of our Savior, of God this evening, that indeed could underpin this peace. Because we know he's omnipotent, we know he's omnipresent, that we know so much about him. But here's one thing I just want to mention this evening very quickly. Do you remember what Jeremiah said in Lamentations 3 verse 23? Great is thy faithfulness. Not just that he's faithful, wouldn't that be good? Great is thy faithfulness. Any believer in any age, from any place, think of from Adam and Eve right through till this very night. Any believer you care to answer or ask the question will be able to stand up and testify and say of God, not only was God faithful, but great is thy faithfulness. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. We've got a faithful God tonight. You can trust him tonight. You can depend on him tonight. The peace he gives you is underpinned by all his great characteristics. And here's the one of the greatest, his faithfulness. Doesn't Psalm 23 testify to the faithfulness of God? You know, he's faithful in life. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He says later on, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Listen, God is faithful in life. He's faithful in death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know something else? Faithful in life, faithful in death, faithful in eternity. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Listen, he's faithful, whatever the storm, whatever the test, whatever the trial, whatever the difficulty, there hath no temptation taken you such as common to man, but God is faithful. You can depend on God tonight. The peace that he gives is underpinned by the characteristics of God, and there are so many that we couldn't mention. We preach the gospel on the Lord's Day, to be sure. We talked about that nail in a sure place. That nail is where they would hang things on, and if the nail was dodgy, it would come out. Christ is a nail in a sure place. You can hang everything on him. And I'll tell you, he'll not let you down. He'll not let you fall. He'll not let you go. Oh, you can have a peace from a God who can be trusted at all times. He's a powerful God. He's an ever-present God. He's a passionate God. And these things we can believe and count on because he's a faithful God. What a faithful God have I. Faithful in every way. Oh, there's so much we could say about our God. Isn't the peace of God amazing tonight? How blessed we are to have peace with God, to have the peace of God, and to have the God of peace with us. You see the ultimate here. You see something unique as we think of this wonderful atmosphere. Now we're back in Colossians 3 verse 15. And let the peace of God rule. You know I like to take scripture just word by word and break it down as simply as I can. That helps me to understand it. And hopefully it opens it up to you as well this evening. You see the word rule, it was used of an umpire. And this umpire would have sat on the beam of the judgment seat, and at the sporting contest, he would make the decision. He would decide who the winner was. He could also make the decision if you stepped outside the lines. I don't know much about sport, but I know when you're running in the 100 metres or the 200 metres or the 1500 metres, when you're in the track part, there's a certain lane, and if you go outside that lane, you're disqualified. And there's an umpire called the peace of God. And maybe tonight you have stepped outside the lane. You've gone somewhere that God didn't want you to go. You said something, did something. And you tried to be something that God never intended you to be. You've stepped outside the lane. And you've been disqualified. And you've lost that peace. You haven't got now. You haven't lost peace with God. But you haven't got the peace of God tonight. And you certainly don't have the God of peace with you. Here is the umpire tonight. Christ has made peace through the blood of his cross. And that peace is secure. But listen, you may not have the peace of God tonight. Have you made decisions? And the decisions you have made, have you made them in accordance with Christ, the one you profess to love and serve? You see, that's when the peace of God is ruling in your heart. Is that peace allowed to guide the decisions and the steps that you take? The word peace here is really just an agreement in the Hebrew sense. It's an attitude of peace or rest or security. This peace of salvation, I said, you have it, but this is the peace of sanctification of your life. Is the peace of Christ the umpire tonight? When it comes to what you're going to do in life, when it comes to directions, when it comes to decisions, do you ever say, is this consistent with the fact that Jesus Christ and I are on the same side? You're no longer enemies, you're at peace. But if you make a decision that goes against what the Lord would want, then you're losing that peace. And that peace is no longer being the umpire that's guiding you with the directions and the decisions you should make. Will the decisions you make give you a deep and abiding rest in your heart? You see, I can testify to this. I read this just earlier on. The number one reason that I don't like to sin is because I know it offends Jesus Christ, with whom I am at peace. You see, when you sin and you let the Lord down, not only is it because you offend the Lord, but it makes you feel rotten. And you feel awful. And that peace is disturbed. And you see, that peace is ruling in your heart. And you know it's not right. And the peace of God has been the umpire. And you want to be at peace with Christ. And you want to know the peace of God in your life. I'm sure, like me, you don't want to be living with guilt. You don't want to be living with a seared conscience. You want the peace of Christ to be the umpire tonight. Let me explain it in a simple way. Have you ever snapped at your wife or your husband? And you've said something, you've perhaps lost it, and you know, on your way to work or when you go out of the house, you start to feel bad about it. You know why? Because the umpire's beginning to work. And the peace of God is ruling in your heart, and you know, that wasn't right. And you want to be at peace. And you don't want to be on the wrong side of Christ. And you let the peace of God rule, umpire in your life. Now, John Calvin took a different approach when it came to this verse. I'm just going to share it with you. I remember Steve Lawson pointing it out. He saw the peace of Christ as a wrestler. And he said, if anything seeks to disturb that peace, this peace of Christ will wrestle with you and ultimately will be victorious and make sure you have victory over carnal desires. And you can see where Calvin was coming from, and I just wanted to share that with you this evening as well. You see the atmosphere that's wonderful. Here's the ultimate, the peace of God. You see something unique, it's the peace of God. Nothing can compare with it in the world. You see the umpire, you want the peace of God to be ruling in your heart. And you want to make sure that the decisions and the directions you go in are in accordance with Christ. That you don't lose this peace. Let this peace be the umpire. And if the peace is disturbed, you step back in line again. Get in the lane that Christ wants you to be in. You see the ultimate, you see unique, you see the umpire. Then you see it's underneath. Look at verse 15 again. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. This is not a surface peace. This is not a superficial peace. This is not a fake peace. Neville Chamberlain, 1938, when he came back from the Munich, he come with what was called the Munich Agreement. He said, I have secured peace in our time. You can imagine people who've lived through World War I and remembered the hardship we're facing World War II. And here's the man come, and the Prime Minister said, listen, we have peace in our time. What relief, what hope it must have given to the people. But it was fake. It was a fake peace. And soon World War II would break out. Listen, we've had many false dawns during this pandemic. Over and over again, politicians have talked about normality returning at such and such a point. The point has come and gone, and we're still nowhere near normality. And there's been false dawns and false peace. Listen, God doesn't give you a false peace. It's not a peace that depends on circumstances. This is a peace that is in your heart. It's below the surface. And surface happenings can't disturb this peace. Wouldn't you love it tonight? You know, in Colossians 1 verse 27, we read this. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What a revelation. Not only are we in Christ, but Christ is in us. And you see, because Christ is in us, He alone can get to our hearts and give you and I that peace we need. Thank God we've got peace with God. Oh, but wouldn't you love the peace of God? Wouldn't you love to have the God of peace with you? Do you see the atmosphere that's wonderful? You see, we're taking your spiritual temperature tonight. Where are you at on the peace scale tonight? You see its ultimate, you see its unique, you see the umpire, you see its underneath, you see that it brings unity. Look again at verse 15, we'll soon be finished. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called into one body. There's two things here. This peace functions best within the fellowship of God's people. How we need each other to encourage each other. Don't you miss the meetings. Don't you miss rubbing shoulders with people? And the world doesn't understand this. They don't understand when they shut the churches. They don't have a clue how special it is when God's people gather as the body of Christ. And we can see each other and talk with each other and encourage each other. And you know, this peace is designed to be experienced within the body of Christ. And how we need that fellowship with each other. And this peace, I believe, will encourage unity among the body of Christ. You see what Paul had been speaking about previously. We've looked at it over this past couple of weeks. Go back up the chapter to verse number 8. Remember what Paul said? These are things you want to put off. But now ye also put off. Remember, the picture is clothing. Put off all these things. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing you've put off the old man with his deeds. You see, if you have any of these rags on, I'll tell you, the peace of God is not going to be ruling in your heart. Indeed, this is evidence that the peace of God is not ruling in your heart. And it's likely that you won't be a peacemaker among God's people. You're more likely to be a peace breaker. You see where there's anger and wrath and malice and all sorts of things. But then you see what Paul says in verse 12. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering. And I love verse 13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another and so on. Verse 14. And above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And here it is. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You see the connection. To the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. You see, these attitudes encourage unity. And they create an atmosphere of unity among the people of God. Poor relationships rob us of this peace. Let me say, I said this on the Lord's Day, and I'll say it tonight again. We're living in a difficult age, and you know, there's a danger that churches are going to be divided and torn apart. There are those who say open under all circumstances. There are some who say shut under every condition. There are some who say this virus is real and it's dangerous and it's deadly and it's like the Black Death. Others are saying it's fake, it's a hoax. Some say just be sensible. Others say don't be weak. And you sometimes don't know what way to turn. And some of God's people are being torn apart. And the devil is using this. Listen. Get the right garments on. See, when you are wearing that forbearance garment, you forbear with one another. You can understand where people are coming from. Listen, people are scared. There's people with health conditions. You need to respect that and understand. And you need to forbear with one another. You need these attitudes that encourage unity, the putting off the old rags and letting people see this robe of righteousness. When we have the right garments, as we said, then indeed this unity will be encouraged. You know what's a mark of? That the peace of God is ruling in your heart. You know what to say. You know what to do. You know the right decision. You know that you're doing the right thing. Do you know how you know? Because the peace of God is that umpire. And you have that peace of God in your heart. You see the ultimate? It's the peace of God. You see it's unique? It's the peace of God. You see the umpire? Let the peace of God rule. You see it's underneath? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You see the unity? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. To us also you are called into one body, reminding us that this peace and the right garments on will bring God's people together and will produce and maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And here's something unstoppable. We're still in verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. See, when the peace of Christ or peace of God is ruling in your heart, listen, you'll be thankful. It's unstoppable. You'll want to praise the Lord. You'll be a thankful person. Listen, an unthankful person won't have this peace. Don't we all know them? You know, they're never happy. They're never content. They're always grumbling. They're always complaining. They're always moaning. Nothing ever seems to be right. There's no thankfulness. If there's no thankfulness on your lips, there's no peace of God in your hearts. Peace in the heart will produce praise on the lips. You will have an attitude of gratitude. You know what I'm talking about this evening? You know, when this peace is disturbed, maybe even through sin. Like David, do you remember David? Do you remember his sin with Bathsheba? He covered it over for a year. And Psalm 32, he testified, "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer." Listen, that's the opposite of the peace of God. He felt the hand of God heavy upon him. Isn't that why he prayed in Psalm 51? "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit." When he confessed, that his song returned. And I say that the peace of God returned too. How's the temperature check going tonight? How's it going? We've only got to the one verse tonight. We've looked at this atmosphere that's wonderful tonight. How is your peace scale tonight? Yes, you've got peace with God. Hallelujah. What about the peace of God? What about the God of peace? Is the peace of God ruling in your heart? You see, when you've got the right attitudes, the right garments on, that's an indication that the peace is there. When you're someone who's trying to promote unity among the people of God and hold things together and encourage them, the peace of God is ruling in your heart. Listen, are you a moaner, a grumbler, a complainer? Are you an unthankful person tonight? Is God saying to you tonight, there's a problem with your peace? God doesn't want you to be in pieces tonight. He wants the God of peace, or the peace of God, to be ruling in your hearts. Over the next week, we'll finish off these two verses and we'll see two further temperature checks. Not for coronavirus, but to measure your Christianity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the word of God again this evening, Lord, so simple and yet so sublime. Lord, can anything in these difficult days be any more precious than having the peace of God ruling in our hearts? Oh Lord, so often we're disturbed, we're worried, we're confused. We don't know what way to turn. Lord, would you help God's people tonight? Lord, to have that peace of God. Lord, thank God we've got peace with God. Lord, we long for the peace of God and we want the God of peace with us. Bless thy dear people this evening. Undertake for each and every one. For it's in and through our Saviour's precious name we pray. Amen.